Evening, church. How you doing this evening? I pray that God is blessing you as he is me and all those who lift up his name in praise. Please bear with me this evening. I'm dealing with some allergies, a little runny nose, a little sore throat, but the word will come out nonetheless. Today I want to talk to you about true happiness, You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, and there are some key reasons for this. There are some key reasons why many of us in the world are frustrated, and we're going to talk about that today. If you have your Bibles, please open them and join with me as I read from the first book of Psalms. We'll draw our lesson from chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in the season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does, he shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And we'll draw our lesson from this tonight. Let me get my technical bearing here. Give me a second. Where does true happiness rest? That's a question many in the world ask. Where do I find true happiness? We live in a time where boredom, depression, and other forms of unhappiness are rampant. Are there some basic principles which determine success in finding happiness? We're going to answer that question tonight. As we look at the first chapter of the book of Psalms, the book of Psalms is the very first psalm. It shares with us the key principles to ensure true happiness. Notice that the very first word in the book of Psalms is blessed. The word in Hebrew denotes happiness. The actual force of the Hebrew word can be translated, "Oh, how very happy is the man." Therefore, this psalm describes the truly happy man. We are told in the first two verses of the first book of Psalm, we're told of the character of the righteous man. We're told of the blessedness of the righteous man. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Basically saying he does not linger in the path of sinners. He does not hang out with sinners. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He does not join himself with those who ridicule and mock those trying to do right. As Christians, we have to be very careful to observe our surroundings and who we're associating with, who we're allowing to affect our spirit, that we may draw closer to God and not the world. Which sinners often do. Sinners often fortify themselves with other sinners. They congregate together. They stand together. And so should Christians. We have to watch who we associate with. Now, we're also told more about the character of the blessed man, of the righteous. Got to get these slides going. Of the righteous. We're told that he delights in the law of the Lord. The foundation of his joy and happiness is the word of God. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 16, I'm going to read to you a few verses that carry the same meaning. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. 119, verse 24, your testimonies are my delight and my counselor. Verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. 47 of 119, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. Verse 70, their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. 77, let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my afflictions. The blessedness of a righteous man. Therefore, in his law, he meditates day and night. Verse 2, chapter 1. The word meditation comes from a Latin word, meaning meditare, which has a range of meaning, including to reflect on, to study, and to practice. Christian meditation is the process of deliberately focusing on specific thoughts, such as a Bible passage, and reflecting on their meaning in proper context. For the true blessed man, for the truly blessed man, meditation on God's word is something that takes place habitually, day and night. We're told of his prosperity. We are told he shall be like a tree. The tree is a comparison used often in scriptures to describe righteousness. As I was reading the scripture and preparing for this lesson, I continued to ask myself, what is it with the tree? What's going on with the tree? And I found some interesting facts I'm going to share with you about trees that we may not commonly think of. But first, Psalms 92, verse 12 through 15. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruits in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Planted by the rivers of water. Let's talk about trees. Trees helped you by reducing the risk of flooding and stabilizing the bank. Consider it. Trees shade the cool air and the stream water. They shade and cool the air and the stream water. Trees actually, this is an interesting fact, trees actually clean the soil and the water that flows through it by absorbing the chemicals and other pollutants. Trees break the force of the wind to help keep topsoil in place. Trees' roots bind the soil, contributing to bank stabilization. Trees create oxygen. Trees clean the air by intercepting airborne particles, reducing heat and absorbing pollutants such as carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen dioxide. I sat back in my chair. I was like, wow. I just thought it was a tree. Interesting, very interesting. We're also told more about the righteous man and his blessings or his blessedness that brings forth fruit in its season, that brings forth fruit in its season in verse 3, chapter 1. Facts. The age from planting when trees can be expected to bear fruit depends on the type of fruit you are growing. Different fruits require different levels of time. Interesting. Low temperatures in some severe winters can kill flower buds and cause trees to bear no crops. It seems like I've heard that before. Flowers of fruit trees must be pollinated to produce fruit. Without sufficient, stay with me now, pollination, they may blossom abundantly, but will not bear fruit. Interesting. Trees need full sunlight for best production. Inadequate sunlight delays the beginning of fruit bearing and may reduce the amount of fruit. Avoid placing fruit trees where they will be shaded by buildings or other trees. These are just facts about trees I thought I'd share with you in fruits. And whose leaf also shall not wither. Chapter 1, verse 3 continued. Whether it's outdoors or in an office, plants wilt in most situations because they've simply run out of available water. Water is consistently flowing in a plant from the soil into the roots, up through the stem, and out of the leaves. Interesting, isn't it? Whatever he does shall prosper. To prosper. Do well, to fare well, to thrive, to flourish, to flower, to bloom, blossom, to grow vigorously, to expand, to improve, to succeed, to be successful, to make it, to get ahead, progress, make progress, to make headway, to advance. Whatever he does will prosper. Let's talk about the condition of the unrighteous. The condition of the unrighteous. The righteous, let's clear this up right now. The righteous are nothing like the unrighteous. They are dynamic opposites. They are dynamic opposites, but rather the unrighteous are like chaff which the wind drives away. Chaff, I looked it up, chaff. Worthless thing, trash, rubbish, refuge, waste, garbage, litter, debris, scraps. This is the unrighteous. Their sorry condition leads to no good end. The ungodly shall not stand in judgment. Not only will the wicked be unable to stand in the judgment of the last day, but they will also be unable to maintain themselves as stable members of the believing children of God through Christ. Brother Kaufman. no sinner in the congregation of the righteous. There will be no sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In all places where righteous are assembled, they will have no place. The unrighteous will have no place among the unrighteous will have no place among the righteous. Verse 6, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord knows, suggests interest in, suggests his interest in the righteous and care for the person known. One could say God himself goes with such a person throughout his or her life. Let's talk more about the ways of the ungodly. The way of the ungodly person shall perish, shall tend toward ruin. His path becomes less defined until it loses itself like a trail that leads to a swamp. In Psalms 32, verse 10, the Bible tells us, many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Here are some final thoughts. The true description of those who go through life bored, depressed, and otherwise unhappy defines the path of ungodliness. Happiness is created by separating oneself from the world and committing to a lifelong journey to seek God's kingdom. Happiness is sustained by exercising the commitment to seek God's guidance. If we exercise the commitment we initially made, we won't fall into the traps of the evil one. We have to continually seek God through the word day and night. God's guidance in his word, which is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. What we have to understand is that if we want true happiness, there is only one place to get it. It's not in the world. It's not in any material item. It's not in any person, relationship. It's not in any place. Well, it is in one place. It's in the Word of God. And if you want that happiness, there's only one way to get in the congregation of God's people. You've got to come through Christ. And if you haven't done so, tonight we're giving you an opportunity to change your life. We're giving you an opportunity to get right with God. An opportunity to walk amongst those in his kingdom. An opportunity to obtain an inheritance that has been promised to his people. If you would like that opportunity, or if you would simply like prayer to encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with God, please come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.